Listen to these words of Scripture, and in them the Spirit's word to you. Isaiah 12:2-6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all of the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And from Luke chapter 3:7-18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. And they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
As the choir collects, I'd like to present an opportunity to you. We're singing an anthem that includes O Come Emmanuel, the iconic Advent hymn. Would you hum on cue? Would you hum the tune with us, please?
Good morning. I am so happy to be with you this morning in body and in spirit. Thank you for this beautiful welcome that you have shown me today. I am looking forward to journeying with you these coming months as we grow and learn and explore who God would have us be in this place. Please join me in prayer as we continue our time of worship through the Word. God of life, God of joy, we have gathered today as imperfect people, seeking to do good in this world, seeking to love others and to love ourselves. Guide us on the way, and may we greet one another and ourselves with grace. Amen. Choose joy. Have you heard this phrase? Choose joy. I have to confess, I have never really liked this phrase. I have all too often witnessed it used this way. To a trans person struggling with depression because their family does not accept them, choose joy. The mother juggling meals and homework and diaper changes without any help, choose joy. To employees making less than their worth and working long hours, choose joy. To communities forever altered by the pandemic, choose joy. It reminds me of James chapter 2. You know the one. Someone says to a person in need, go, be warm and well fed, meanwhile doing nothing about clothes or shelter or food, but be warm and well fed all the same. In the midst of grief and suffering, an offering of empty words. You may have noticed our scripture from Luke this morning is not a particularly warm or feel-good passage upon first inspection, but here we are on this Sunday of joy, reading about John the Baptist insulting and chastising the people. Up to this point, John has made a ministry of providing baptism as a sign of repentance and forgiveness. And so John is here at the water's edge doing his thing. And to the very people who arrive to partake of the very service John is there to provide, he reprimands them. Curious that John would take this opportunity to seemingly undercut his own ministry. You brood of vipers, he says. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Taken on its own, in this context, we can understand wrath as anger, a justifiable indignation that has already begun to fray the threads of the social fabric. An anger that bubbles up because the individuals who have come to John to be baptized are here for the external symbol. They are here for the show. Something to help them feel better about themselves. And John cannot abide this. You slippery, sneaky little snakes. Who told you to flee from the consequences of your own actions? Who told you to abandon your obligations to the community? Whoever has two coats must share with those who have none, and the same with food. And to the tax collectors, collect no more than is necessary to do the work you have to do. Take only what you need. And to the soldiers, do not threaten. Do not make false accusations for money. What are you thinking? Many of the people who have come to John this day are people who have been established to oversee the social system. And instead of looking out for the people around them, they are abusing and manipulating the social structure for personal and political gain, benefiting from a system that is fueled by the subjugation and oppression of others. And not only that, they are trying to seek absolution for this way of life through the existing religious system. John says to them, being a descendant of Abraham does not let you off the hook. Being baptized does not let you off the hook. Is any of this sounding familiar? Good. Today, this might sound like, being a Christian does not let you off the hook. Having a gay friend, a black friend, an indigenous friend does not let you off the hook. Donating a measly sum of your billion-dollar fortune to charity does not let you off the hook. These facts do not absolve you of the obligations and the responsibilities that come with your privilege, your position, and your power. Enough is enough. Luke is the only gospel to include this specific social commentary, and Luke does so very much on purpose. For there is one who is coming more powerful than I, and he will bring with him a new social order. Lip service and going about your regular holy activities will not be enough. This new order will mandate that the systems of oppression be overturned. An echo of John the Baptist's message is heard in the following chapter when Jesus begins his earthly ministry and proclaims, I have been appointed to bring good news to the poor, to release those in chains, to recover sight for the blind, and ensure the oppressed go free. To hear this news as one under the boot of a corrupt system is to hear that this new order includes you, invites you in, invites you to the table, says, you are my community, and I will seek your flourishing. This new order is one of kinship, of belonging. I am from Arizona, born and raised, and like every other U.S. state, Arizona is land that was taken from indigenous people. One of the tribes currently residing in Arizona is the Navajo Nation. And like all indigenous people, the Navajo have to work very hard to preserve what remains of their culture, their language, and their people. One of the things I have learned about the Navajo culture is that when a baby is born, the baby is believed to belong to the holy people, to the spirit world. She is not yet entirely an earthly being. For about 4 to 6 months, the family waits intently, listening closely. Each person wants to be the first one to hear the sound that will mean the baby has chosen to leave the spirit world and make a home among her earthly family. They are listening for a laugh. A joyous procession of giggles tells her family she is here to stay. Baby's first laugh tells her family she wants to love and be loved. She is committed to life, and she is committed to the well-being of her community. And the moment that laugh arrives, the family leaps into action. They prepare lots of food and have a large celebration. Each guest is given a plate of food and a special gift. For the Navajo people, the laughter is not simply a developmental milestone. Laughter is the fundamental step toward the mutual contract of kinship, a contract that implies taking action. Kinship is solidarity, is kindness, is compassion, is generosity, is peacefulness. And in the space between the spirit world and earth, in the space between life and death, the Navajo listen for a laugh, a kind of joy that says, I am here, you are my community, and we will seek our flourishing together. Two 2,000 years after Jesus, and we are still seeking the flourishing and belonging of all people. The struggle is ongoing. People are still under the boot of a social system that does not value them. A system that churns its wheel over them to turn a profit. And in the midst of this reality, between life and death, we are here, you and me, in this moment, to be the joy that is that counterforce to all that seeks to crush the human soul. To be the joy, a force of social change that brings belonging to all people. A joy that says, you are not alone. The joy that is a wild cry of resistance in the face of uncertainty, violence, and death. And in so doing, we echo the one who has experienced the poverty of the manger and the agony of the cross, that the world would know resistance in the name of kinship, that the world might know belonging, that the world might know a joy that overcomes. Poet Aja Monet has a collection of poems in a book called My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter. And in this book is her poem called Black Joy. I would encourage you all to read this poem at some point in its entirety. I will read to you now an excerpt. This is Aja Monet's Black Joy. Joy is the blessing and the curse. It's the call and response, the prayer and the pulpit. It's evidence of things unseen, it's faith, it's merciful. Joy is the hallelujah, the amen, and the Holy Ghost. It's speaking in tongues, it's worship before the sermon, the baptism, revival, a genetic heirloom. It is the portable promised land. Joy is the diaspora. It's making it overseas or making it over the Mason-Dixon line. It's family, it's brotherhood, it's sisterhood. It's together, unified on the front lines. Our joy will astonish the world because joy, real joy, is justice. We have been reflecting on what it means to house the holy this Advent season. My friends, this is it. The power to bring and be the joy of justice in a hurting world. The joy of belonging. This is the joy we claim. This is the joy we choose. Amen.